before we begin this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. If you're familiar a little bit with Hebrews, this is the faith chapter. Some remarkable things happened this week that surround faith. I learned something, and so did somebody else, and I'm going to tell you about it. Hebrews 11:1 is a very powerful verse. I know some of us like to take notes during the message. Well, I have a definition for you of the word faith I'm going to share with you in a little bit. So if you are the kind that likes to take notes and wants a good definition of that, I'm going to share it with you. Okay? Everybody got it? Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is substance and evidence. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your Word is true. Now we can trust it. Even when someone comes up against it and says, I don't know, Your Word is still true. For You say, let every man be a liar, but God will be proved true. And You are, Lord, proved true. As we hear this message, Lord, may it minister to us. May it help us to step out in faith where we need to. And may it help us embrace the promises You've made to us in faith. Thank You, Lord, that Your Word is manifest here this morning. And in Your ways and in Your blessing, I ask that You would make Your presence known here. Let this be holy ground, Heavenly Father, where life is transformed. Heavenly Father, may this be the place where prayers find answers coming forth. Even as we've lifted up our dear friends and family members who have needed a touch, so I also ask that this place this morning would find our lives touched as well. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, that You're more than capable and that You're willing. And to that end, Heavenly Father, I ask that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, and the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. Faith. Heard a lot of different people talk about faith, haven't you? Do you remember the disciples saying to Jesus, increase our faith? And He said, if your faith was as much as this grain of a mustard seed, it would be enough. You could say to a mountain, be thrust into the sea, and it would. I wondered about that, and someone actually talked about that in a sermon one time that kind of surprised me, what he was saying. Now you might say, well, what's this mustard seed faith thing so important? And they did some research just to see what kind of faith mustard seed faith is. Of course, it's the smallest of seeds and it becomes a large bush. But they decided to check its durability. And what they did is, first of all, they took different kinds of seeds, apple seeds, peach tree, pear seeds, and they subjected it to microwave and isotopes. They put a short blast on each of the seeds, and all of the seeds failed to produce. As a matter of fact, it destroyed them so they could not give life except the mustard seed. And they said, well, this is interesting. Let's see how much it can handle. So they gave it some more radioactive isotopes, and they gave it some microwave again, and they put it all on it for a long time. They pulled it out, and it still was okay. And they said, well, this is interesting. Let's try and get some more seeds. So they got some more seeds, same mustard seed, still the same one, hadn't been messed up yet. And they froze them. Sub-zero, very, very cold. Cold as they could get them. And then they warmed them up real quick and put them in a culture to see if they would sprout. None of the seeds would, except the mustard seed. And they said, well, that's interesting. Let's try heat on the next batch. So they tried heat, and all the other seeds withered, but the mustard seed stood strong. And this is what they concluded. They said that if you are a mustard seed, nothing will stop you from doing your purpose. If you have faith, then nothing can stop you from what you are and who you are, and you will still do what God called you to do. That is mustard seed faith. It endures all the hardships like they never face it. Your environment can rage and storm and nuclear wars, and you're still going to be strong. That's mustard seed faith. I had no idea that was the only seed that could do that, but they tried many different ones, and it was the only one that could withstand all those tests successfully and produce normal plant. I didn't know that. But it's true. That's what I was told. And I think that's a good analogy for us. To understand that faith holds its ground and stays true to what it is no matter what happens. It doesn't mean that your faith is big and that it will grow. It means that it doesn't change. When you have evidence contrary to the fact that God is, or evidence to the fact that God heals is all contrary, and your faith still stays the same. We need that kind of faith when we're praying for folks who are hurting, who are sick, who are dying. We need that kind of faith this morning. That's the kind of faith we have to have. Mustard seed faith that never gives up and always holds true to the promise that God gave it. There's a fellow, a writer, he comes from Britain, I think. His name is Ernest Best. I believe he is a professor over there at Oxford. I'm not positive on that, but I know he's a British man, and he writes, "One day, several years ago, I came across the definition that he gave for faith. And I said, that's really good. So I plugged it in to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter, because I was studying that chapter way back when. And I plugged the definition in for where the word was. And ever since, every instance of that word, I put the definition there and it fit. And this is what he said faith is. I've not forgotten this definition since that time, and it's a good one. He says, faith is our response to God's personal revelation of Himself in Jesus Christ. In other words, when God reveals Himself to you in Jesus Christ, how you respond is your faith. So, our response to the personal revelation of God and Jesus Christ is evidence of the things we hope for and conviction of the things we do not see. You might say it this way. It says later in this chapter, it was faith that made Moses prefer to suffer with God's people rather than to enjoy the riches of Egypt because he saw the future reward. It was faith. It was his response to God's personal revelation of himself. It happened on Mount Sinai. God was there. I have to share with you that God is in your life even when you don't know it. Why? Because He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He's all present. There are people that say, I don't have a knowledge of God, who are agnostic, right? They don't believe in God. Or atheists, they say, that I can't believe in a God, I don't see this God. But God's there, they just can't see Him. And there are times in our life when we say, I can't get to God. He's there, you don't have to get there, He's already there. God is already in Druid Hills Hospital with David. All we're asking Him to do is to do something for his heart. And to heal him. And to strengthen him. And to make him new. That's what we're asking God to do. God's already there. We don't have to ask God to go there. We're asking God to act on His behalf. In faith, we ask. Because we know that God can do it. And when we ask, it's saying, I'm putting my best faith forward. Did you know the word faith, most of the time, when it's used in the Bible, is actually a verb? Did you know that? If you were to say it correctly, it's not, I have faith in something, but the correct would be with ing, faithing. I'm faithing right now. I'm faithing. I'm actively believing. I'm actively responding to God's promise. I'm putting my whole heart and trust in what God says. I'm faithing right now. You can love someone, but it feels a lot better to them when you are loving them. See? You can say, I love you, but it feels better when they're actively loving you. Faith you can have, but it's better when you're faithing, actively using it. And this morning we're doing that. I sat down with a young man this week. I call him young because you all would call him young. He's just about 6 years younger than me. So I have the right to call someone in their 30s young now. Didn't used to have that right. He's a young guy. And I sat down with him in my office this week. And he said to me, I'm an agnostic. And I said, you know what that means? He said, yes. It means I don't have any proof that there is a God, and I don't have any proof that there isn't a God. Don't have proof either way, so I can't. It means no knowledge. The word gnosis is knowledge. You put an A in front of it, it means no knowledge. In other words, he's a know-nothing. If you want to call him a know-nothing, that's what he is. An agnostic is a know-nothing. But it refers to God. I know nothing of a God. For or against. And he said, and it's real tough because if I want to get better from my addiction, I'm going to have to believe in something greater than myself, and I don't have any evidence of that. And I simply asked him a question. I said, do you believe that there is something that might could help you? Do you believe there might be an answer out there? He says, oh, no, I know there's an answer that's going to help me get past this. I know there's an answer. I smiled and I said, you know what? That's better than some believers. Some of us are believers and we don't know there's an answer. I looked at him and I smiled because I said in my heart, this man is a man of faith and he doesn't even know it. He believes, but he doesn't know what to believe in. So I simply said, can you put your trust in the answer that's coming, whatever it might be, and trust your life that that answer will help you? And he looked at me with this funny look on his face and he said, are you trying to trick me? I think you're trying to trick me, but you know what? What you said makes sense and I'm starting to believe that there is something, but I don't know what it is. I said, you don't have any evidence of it, do you? He says, no, but I know it's there. Do you understand? Faith is the conviction It is the evidence. It just, he doesn't have a place to put it. The only difference between a believer and a non-believer is we have a place, a person, Jesus Christ, that our faith goes to. He didn't. He said, I don't believe in a God, but I believe. And I showed him one time in his life how he did have a power greater than himself. And I said, when you lost it, you lost touch with yourself. And he looked at me and said, you know, when I met you, I summed you up. I looked you up and down, and my first impression usually right, and that is that you couldn't relate to me. I saw your cross over there on the bookcase and your Jesus statue and your Lord's Supper thing there and your Bible verse on the wall, and I knew you couldn't help me. And he says, you're making me mad because you're making sense. And then he said, keep making sense. I wrote it down for him on a piece of paper. I handed it to him. He said, can I keep this? I need it. And I said, if that will help you find your answer, take it. He scooped it up, stuck it in his pocket. He now believes in something, but he's just not sure what it is. He now is a man of faith, and he's looking for something that he can believe in. Now, you might say, well, what does that have to do with God? Let me tell you. The reason this whole conversation came about is in the Alcoholics Anonymous blue big book, it talks about agnostics. And he had just read it. And it said that we agnostics can still find serenity in a power greater than ourselves if we're willing to just believe that there's something. Even if we don't know what it is, that there's something that could help us. An answer. When we are willing to open up to believe that there is something greater than us, God can step in and fill in the name of it. And that's basically what it says in the AA text. And he looked at me after he'd read that and he said, you know, I'll probably end up believing in God after this, and I'm not happy about it. And I said, and I smiled and I said, I guess maybe I can't help you, can I? Because I just can't relate to you. And he goes, oh, you just read me like a book. And I said, is your first impression right? And he said, I don't know yet. I don't know if you've helped me or not. You just made me think. And if a person who has no knowledge can start to think about something that they don't know anything about, that's all they need to begin to touch God. It's all they need is a little bit of an opening, because this is a man of faith. Remember, faith seeks an object or something to believe in. You have to respond to something that's revealed to you. And if this man can't see God's revelation to him, he can't believe in God. So I'm showing him God as his answer. And when he sees the answer, he can attribute it to God. Then his faith makes the leap. Ever heard of that? The leap of faith itself. His faith will naturally draw himself to God. That's how it works. It happens that way for us when we first come and hear the good news of the gospel. Yes, we can make this step of faith and believe that there is something that can save us and forgive us and restore us to new life. We believe that, but we're just not sure how it can happen. And then when we direct toward the cross and we put our faith there and say, I believe that maybe He could do that, our faith makes the leap. It jumps and says, this is enough. And all we have to do is be open to a little bit, and God does the rest. We open the door a crack and God has enough room to walk in and say, here I am. You leapt into my life. and I lived in the yours. Isn't that good news? When we pray for folks, we're praying not that God would say, healed, but that God would act on our faith. Do you understand why faith is so important? Because we're asking Him to do in faith what we ask. How many times did someone come to Jesus and say, please heal me? And He says, do you want me to? What do you want me to do? I want to see. I want you to heal my hand. I want you to fix my son who's dead or dying. I want you, and if you're specific, what you're saying is, God, I believe you can do a specific thing. I believe God can reach right into the body of David Clifton, reach right to the heart, and He knows what muscles are damaged, and fix those muscles. I believe that. And I believe that God can reach right into JG, right into his pancreas, and into the body parts that aren't working right. And I believe God can do that, and that's what I've asked Him to do. Not just bless him, not just help him and heal him, but to be specific, because faith knows what it believes in. It is a conviction that God does what He says He can do. It is the evidence that God is doing it even before He does. Faith that is like a mustard seed, even in spite of all odds, says this is going to happen, no matter what anybody else says. And it doesn't change against overwhelming odds. That is the kind of faith we're talking about. That is what Hebrews is talking about. And this morning, as that verse says, it is the substance of things hoped for, a conviction, if you will, an evidence of that which you cannot see being done, but you know God is. Yes, even an agnostic can have faith. They just don't have a place to put it. But when a door opens, yes. And there is only one place you can put your faith and it work. And that's in Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father, who gave Himself for us that we might live. Would you pray with me?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning in faith, knowing that as we gather this morning, that You pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us and upon the gifts of the bread and grape for us, that they would be for us the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and we would be the body and blood of Jesus Christ for this world, knowing that our words, our faith, change things. Heavenly Father, grant us this confidence to not waver, and having done all to stand, to remain standing. Heavenly Father, thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.